Good morning and welcome to Community Conversations. I'm Vicki Green. So we're going to make you hungry this morning as we go behind the scenes of the 13th annual Worcester's Best Chef event being held January 26th at Mechanics Hall. Now, the food scene in Worcester and Central Massachusetts has always been great, in my opinion. Lately, we've been getting well-deserved accolades in national press. We may be biased, but we have great chefs in this city and chefs in the making. Joining me in the studio today is Dominic Mercurio, who is the organizer and mastermind of this great annual competition and tasting event, Worcester's Best Chef. He is joined by well-known chefs and winners and judges of past competitions, Bill Borbeau, who's executive chef at the Boynton in Worcester, which many people know, and Al Makel, am I saying that right, Makel, who's from Cohasse, the executive chef at Cohasse Country Club. And as well as young and up-and-comers from Tantasqua High School, Maya Durand, that's Tantasqua and Sturbridge, and Tori Denham, a culinary student at Baypath Regional Vocational Technical High School. Good morning to this crowded room.
Good morning, Vicki.
All right, so Dom, let's start with you. Why did you start the event in the first place?
Well, like you said earlier, you know, Worcester has a great restaurant scene. They have a lot of real top-line chefs. About 14, 15 years ago, before we actually got into our first event, we had a nice culinary event at my church. And one of my buddies turned to me and said, you know, you should do something like this for the city. And I said, you're absolutely right, because I'm sick and tired of people going to Providence, Federal Hill, or to the North End, North End of Boston, because that's where they want to go to have great food. They don't need to. So, I mean, we had a lot of action in Worcester, but I just thought it might be maybe a little bit helpful to have people put a spotlight on, or for us to put a spotlight on, some of the great chefs and restaurants in Worcester and have them kind of battle it out, fight it out a little bit and attract attention, attract people so that people could see what kind of talent exists here in Worcester, you know, and taste the talent that exists.
And coming all to do it in one spot is amazing.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sitting here looking like these are celebrity chefs to me because I've been going to these restaurants for so many years.
Yeah.
So how many chefs are participating this year in your competition?
Yep, this year we as many as we can fit in Mechanics Hall, which is 20.
Okay. Yeah. And you had more than 1,000 folks attend last year, and we will put the website for tickets up on our station websites. Now, explain to folks what the categories are for the competitions for judging.
We have the judges' choice. We have a panel of 5 judges, and they're folks from all walks of life. They have distinctions and designations from American Culinary Federation, Culinary Institute of America, Johnson & Wales University. They're just really acclaimed people that have a good palate, and they're really easy to work with. That judges' choice category ultimately, we'll see 3 top winners from this selection of 20 chefs. Those 3 will get on stage and battle it out in an Iron Chef competition in front of the 1,200 people in the room. It's live. And what we do is we put closed circuit TV on it on big screens so the people who aren't right up against the stage can see what's going on. They can see the cooktop. They can see over Bill Borbeau's shoulder what he's making.
Just like Iron Chef on TV, which I watch.
They can see what Al Makel is grabbing from the pantry and putting in his pot. You know, they can see anything at all and what he's chopping. It's really kind of cool. People are just fixed on those screens, Vicki. It's just terrific. The other category is people's choice. And that's where the rubber meets the road, because that's where all of our foodie fans that come to the event get to kind of compare what they think they should, you know, the champs should be, the top 3 choices, versus what the judges think. And one year we actually had a mirror result. We had 3 top choices from People's Choice, exactly the same as 3 top choices from judges. And it was fantastic. It made the people at the event, all the spectators, feel great.
They have a great palate.
They thought they were professional chefs because they picked the top 3 that the judges picked, you know?
And then you have a student category as
we
well.
We do. We thought with all of this, what the chefs in this room will call savory, all the chefs are making mostly savory dishes, you know, things you eat at dinner time and that kind of thing. We thought it'd be nice to have a balance. We thought, why not introduce dessert? And so we thought we'd introduce some great culinary high school students to the event. And baptism by fire, let them kind of put together what they think is the best dessert and battle it out between the 3 of them. And they all take some money home. They get to shadow these great chefs and learn what it's like to be in a competitive environment. And by the way, a kitchen serving the public, very competitive. Every bit as competitive as Worcester's Best Chef is. So it's great that they have a chance to actually learn what it's like to serve the general public en masse and give them dessert too.
Okay, so now I'm going to turn to the chefs before I get to the students, because I have a lot of questions for everybody. And again, I feel like I'm talking to celebrities here because I am I am a self-proclaimed Food Network fanatic. And last year we did a show before the event and we had two judges, one of whom had been on a lot of the TV shows, and I got to ask her a lot of questions. But Chef Bill from the Boynton, you won last year.
I did.
What did that mean to you? Is it bragging rights? Is it just justifying and satisfying that you know you're doing a good job?
It was very rewarding. I didn't anticipate it, so I was very excited. I've been in the competition for almost since the beginning, and it was nice to get some, show all the years of hard work and dedication, and it really see, so it's like kind of, it's a solid like professional gratification, if you will. And it was nice to have, it wasn't just me, it was a whole team in the kitchen that put the dish together, so it kind of showed a nice way of solidifying the people that I work with as well.
That's a good point, because I watch Iron Chef America, which is now mostly repeats, which was taken from overseas, but they have two sous chefs with them. Is that what you have?
Yeah, I have two other chefs that work with me on a daily basis, and once again, they'll be helping me
at the event
together the dish for this year. So, I mean, I guess my name's on the top of the list, but without those guys, it wouldn't be possible to do what I do on a daily basis and at the competition.
Now, do you practice the dish ahead of time?
Oh, absolutely. You have to, yeah. We started working on it over a month ago, and we've been working on plating and presentation weekly.
This is, and I, just so people listening understand, this competition is serious business.
Yeah, we'll
if you've been working on this for a month, I'm even shocked.
Yeah, we'll break down every component from the protein to the starch, veg, everything we'll make multiple times to see.
I don't suppose you're going to give us any hint to this year.
I am featuring locally raised lamb this year.
Okay.
So I have a farm out of Hubbardston that will be using locally raised lamb. So
okay.
I'm excited to do that.
And that's a good thing to talk about, too, because that's kind of the movement now. It's always been this farm to table, but now it's not even farm to table. It's sometimes the people that own the farm own the restaurant. Or even like at Fenway, they have a garden, an herb garden on top of the Fenway Park where their restaurants at the ballpark go up and pick their, I've seen them pick their
herbs. Yeah, they have the higher ground farms in Boston. Yeah.
Right, and go right into a ballpark. Yeah. What was your winning dish last year?
Last year I did a smoked brisket with homemade tater tots and cheese sauce.
and you practiced that for a month too?
Yeah, we actually got locally raised Maple Hill Farms brisket, so it was a grass-fed beef. So it was its own kind of challenge to cook a much leaner brisket. So it cooks a little different than, say, like a Wagyu or what you'd see like on the fancy barbecue competitions. And then we used a couple different really nice Italian cheeses to make the sauce. And so, yeah, it was still, it was, I mean, you have, when you use your protein that takes 9 hours to cook, there's a little bit of patience in trying to make sure you cook it right.
Wait, so you don't have to go in there under the time constraint? You don't pre-cook anything, right? You have to use a pressure cooker or?
We work within the confines of what Mechanicsville Hall lets us do.
I mean, their kitchen isn't bad. I got married there, I will say. So I've been in the kitchen there.
Gave a couple weddings there. Might be yours.
Actually, another chef that's involved with the event did do my wedding.
Oh, there you go.
At Peppers. I will give him a shout out.
Yeah.
But this was, again, many years ago. But it was a wonderful event. It's a great facility. Okay, Al, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. So now, people may not know, if they don't live here, that I knew your name right away because you ran a restaurant connected to Living Earth, which I think is closed.
Yep, this was there last year.
Okay. And a restaurant there, Evo, which the whole focus was mostly, it was one of the first in, or only in the area to be a vegetarian market and very, one of the first to kind of jump on that, you know, local, healthy, vegetarian deal. Now, you've competed in years past. How many years have you been cooking yourself?
I've been cooking, I started washing dishes at 16 and I never left the kitchen. So, you know, maybe a couple of years in the dish pit and then, you know, graduated towards, you know, pantry and appetizers and things like that. And then just worked my way all the way up.
Is that what they call a dish pit?
And that's what we call it.
Oh my goodness. So, now, do you know what you're cooking? Are you competing with this year?
So I had a few ideas. I was kind of a latecomer to the event. I had a few ideas. One of them was lamb, which apparently I think I'm going to change now. After hearing Bill talk, as much fun as a head-to-head contest would be like that, I think I'm going to leave that one to him this year. He is the defending champ, so I'd like to see what he can do with that this year, and maybe I'll find a different direction.
Now, have you judged before?
I have. I judged for 2 years after I won in 2013, and it was really wonderful to kind of see the other end of the event and see what all the other judges were, I mean, what they base their criteria on what they were looking for and kind of compare it to what I've done in the past and then use that information to kind of go towards the future. But it was also really nice to just sit back and eat all afternoon and not have to worry about feeding over 1,000 people. So it's definitely a fun part of the event if you win and you get to.
But, I mean, how much can you really eat? I mean, if you're trying all these dishes, I don't know because I watch on television. I know that I've been in television production, so I know what is really live, what's really happening, and what they edit. And they, well, I don't know exactly, but they do edit. You're sitting there. How many bites of a dish can you take if you're tasting, what is it, three finalists?
I think it's 20 dishes usually that we have to go through.
You have to go through 20 dishes.
Yep.
Oh, right, to get to the final three.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, to get to the final three.
So you don't want to be full and your palate gets affected and...
Yeah, I mean, it's a fast pace. The dishes are coming in quickly. You do have a little bit of time in between to drink some water, kind of cleanse your palate. I didn't have as much trouble being a larger gentleman keeping up with some of the other judges. Also, when you work all day, I usually tend to eat one meal at nighttime, so... Mm. Just like the dish pit, it can be kind of bottomless sometimes, and I didn't have a hard time keeping up, but I can see how a lot of people would. Fortunately, they're small bites, so you're not eating an entire meal.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are the things, and I have the two students listening here for dessert, but we're going to talk to them in a second. What are some of the thing criteria that you look for as a judge? Bill, have you judged as well?
I have not judged, no.
So you can't answer that question. So I don't want to put you on the spot, but you and your fellow judges in the past, what are some of the things that you look for in a winning dessert dish or a winning savory dish?
Well, depending on whether it be a dessert or an entree or savory dish of some sort, I know the number one thing that the chefs are looking for is a hot plate and hot food, which is... so simple and basic that sometimes you wouldn't even think of that. But hands down, every year, every judge always comments on the temperature of the dishes.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously for a dessert, if it's a cold dessert, you don't want to throw it on a hot dish. But for your savory dishes, they really, really look at the heat of your dish. They look for balance and flavor. They look for presentation. They look for texture. They look for something that's unique, something they haven't seen before. I know in talking to Chris Ravezzi after the year that I won, the thing that he was most impressed with was the crispy sauerkraut that was on my dish.
Crispy.
He said, yeah, it's just, you know, you pat it dry, give it a quick fry, a little flour to keep it nice and crispy. And, you know, he had said, you know, I haven't seen that before. That was something new. That was something really, really cool. And that stood out in my mind. So, you know, kind of pushing the envelope, trying something different, sticking towards some of your basic principles and how things should be cooked, and just kind of the overall taste of all the dishes, trying to hit all those flavor points.
Okay, Bill, one last question for you. I don't know if it'll be the last question, but how did you come into where you are now in this position? Very well-known restaurant.
I started out working in pizza kitchens when I was 16 years old. So traveled around a bit and then came back to a place that I had eaten with my family for years. Because, you know, we are in our 50th year now of business.
50 years of the Boynton.
And so it would seem like natural to go back to my roots and do more pizza. You know, we have great pizza.
But you do, but it's not just pizza.
No,
you've kind of elevated.
You know, we do a little bit of everything. You know, we got pizza and we got tuna sashimi. We've got great sandwiches. We've got great steaks. We've got a little bit of everything. You know, I think it's what happens when you have a restaurant that's 50 years old.
And you have to keep reinventing.
You got to reinvent. You got to keep people guessing. But we have almost four generations of regulars now. So you have to have stuff that they will like and stuff that will keep them coming back again. You know, and that's the real challenge, I think, sometimes of what we do.
Okay. So now we're going to turn it over to the students, and we're going to talk to Maya and, forgive me, but it's Tori, and I know it's Toriana, but I want to call you Toriana for some reason, but Tori and Maya, and either one of you can take these questions. So I wanted to know from you both, what sparked your interest in culinary arts?
So when I got into high school as a freshman, we had to pick our tech classes, and I just remember seeing what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in a forensic crime lab and analyze dead bodies for a living. And then I saw health careers and realized I can't have tattoos, piercings, or pretty colored hair. And I was like, well, what do I do from here? And I got into culinary, and during my freshman year, I didn't start raising a skill, but I started raising a passion for it, and it really stuck.
Wow, that's so. It wasn't your first choice. All right, so Tori, was that also the case for you, or did you know going right to BayPath that that's what you wanted to do?
It wasn't a first choice for me as well. I had wanted to go a different route, but looking up, like, growing up, I was with my grandfather a lot, and he's the main one who taught me how to cook with me and my twin sister. And it always sparked a really good bonding experience. And so that's what I kind of liked. It also taught me, like, just going out into the real world and knowing how to cook. There's a lot of people who go to college and just make ramen. Like, I want to be able to actually make dishes and just actually learn how to cook for myself. But I also wanted to be able to see how, when I go to a restaurant, how all of this came together and how many people put hard work into that dish.
Yeah, I think people don't really realize, and as Chef Bill talked about, you know, the sous chefs are, it's one big team. It's way more than that in the restaurant itself, if you count the front of the house and the back of the house. But what has been most surprising to you as you go through, what year are you?
I'm a senior.
Okay. So from the time you declared you wanted to do culinary to now, what has your passion grown, and do you think you want to continue doing this?
Definitely my passion has grown. I feel like the thing that keeps me going is the energy and how much fast-paced this is. And it's just like you've got to keep going and going and going, and there's nonstop. You've just got to put your best work in.
So explain to me, in school, how many, do you have a chef that works with you? Do you have people that come in and talk to you, that teach you actual techniques? And, you know, how does that work?
So right now we have two chefs on the cook side, Chef Santusi and Chef Henriksen. Chef H does freshmen and seniors. So right now I'm like, Chef H is my head instructor, and then Chef Sansusi does sophomores and juniors. So I had him last year and then sophomore year as well. And they teach us a bunch of things based on different dishes, to learning how to use different parts of the kitchen, whether it be the fryolator or the salad station, or learning how to do the back of the line and what potato and vegetable goes with each dish, and basically your presentation. You can put a dish together and it can taste good, but you've also got to make sure it looks nice as well. You can't just throw the food on the plate.
Have you ever had to cook for, you know, done big events where you've had to cook for multiple dozens of people? Because that seems the hardest thing to me, is to keep the presentation even. You know, when you're sending out to, maybe you're on a line, you're sending out to maybe 15, 20 people at a time.
We've done, our restaurant, Hilltop Restaurant on BayPath, we have done big parties of people. We've done parties of 20 at a time, and they just fill up a dining room, and then we have their second dining room that we open at times. We've had people from nursing homes come, and they bring a bunch of their nice elderly ladies to go out and just have a day to themselves, and that's really sweet. So, yeah, we serve to big people. We also have the advisory committees, like if there's teachers who are coming together and they have a big meeting, we can serve for them as well.
Yeah, I think that's so great, because they do that at Assabet Tech High School too, and I'm sure some of the other tech high schools. Now, did you compete last year?
Yes, I did.
And
it,
the students do the desserts. What did you make last year?
We made, I forgot the exact thing, but we made like a pineapple upside down cake.
Well, those don't look easy. It's like they're waiting till the last second when they flip it over when I watch it on Food Network. They flip it over and they're like, oh my gosh, it's stuck to the pan, or you don't know. But how many people on your team for the schools will cook together when you're there?
At the Worcester's Best Chef?
Yes.
So we have our junior ACF group.
What's ACF stand for?
American Culinary Federation. So we have them. It's basically this junior thing, and it doesn't have to be culinary students who join. It can be anyone from any shop that can join if they have like a passion for culinary. So we all come together. There's probably maybe about 15 of us.
Oh, wow.
13 maybe. And we come together and we come up with an idea to cook and we do it.
Now, do you guys know what you're doing? yet?
I'm not allowed to say.
Okay. That's fair enough. Fair enough. Your competition is next to you, so we're going to go to Maya for a second. Maya, I'm going to ask you, do you think the Food Network and more cooking shows on TV have led to an increased interest among people your age and trying to maybe get into this field?
I mean, I do remember as a small child sitting around and watching Gordon Ramsay scream at people for hours on end, and I thought it was always very entertaining. And ever since, like, getting into working at restaurants, I've met people not quite on that scale that are that rude, but I've definitely met people who are rather hot-headed, and it's never, there's never a day where I don't find it interesting, to say the least.
Well, I'm glad you find that as a positive, that it really pushes you, because people have mixed, you know, he's tried a lot of things, and his show's coming back. I do watch his show, that where he goes in and tries to help them in 24 hours. But he does, you know, part of his persona, though I hear he's actually a very nice guy.
He is. He's very good at kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I've seen the MasterChef Junior and all of that. Yeah. So do you, when you cook for other people, do you enjoy the dessert side, or do you want to do a mix? And you said you've been in restaurants. Do you go, are you interning right now or doing something?
So next semester, I'm interning at our own restaurant. So I'm pretty much going to be helping with Chef Pop and Chef L, with other students, the younger students actually, all four blocks. So, but right now I'm just working in a pizza restaurant. I worked at the Lake
Don't
George
say just.
Tavern. I worked at the Lake George Tavern in Wales, Mass for a while, and I was one of two line cooks for a while because we lost a few employees. But now I'm at Village Pizza in Sturbridge.
Okay. So just for people that don't know where Wales is, it's near Sturbridge. So it's in Central Mass. Now, you competed last year as well, right?
I did.
What did you make?
So last year we made a banoffee trifle cake.
Do you have planning? You're planning this year already?
Yeah, we're already planning, definitely.
And how many people are going to be there for your school actually doing the cooking?
Actually doing the cooking, I'm pretty sure we're going to have somewhere between 8 and 10 students.
Okay. All right, because there is a difference, I think, between Tantasco is a public high school versus Tech High School. And so I think there is a little bit of a difference, and I could be wrong, with, you know, I'm so impressed that, you know, a regular public high school is offering this. I mean, when I was in middle school back, way back in the Stone Ages, we had to take home ec. And we literally learned how to turn an oven on. Which when I hear Tori say she wants to know, make more than ramen in college, I'm thinking to myself, why wasn't I that smart? You know? I mean, Julia Child, as I talked to with the culinary instructor, was around. And I watched it, whatever, you know. It wasn't quite as entertaining as some of the shows today. But do you think people look at you, do your friends and family ever say to you, why do you want to do this? This is such hard work.
Every single day I go home and my mom's like, all right, what horror stories do you have for me today? And I'm like, actually, I quite enjoy it. My friends and family, they're always really supportive because they know that, like, it's my passion. It's what I like to do. They're always supportive, but they always do have that question, like, why are you doing this? Like, you do realize you're going to be, like, getting up early every single day, going to bed late every single day. And I don't do it just to, like, make food that, like, I find appealing. I do it to make an experience for other people. There's nothing more rewarding to me than, like, looking out at the dining room through my little window and, like, just seeing everybody smile and, like, create a memory around a dish that I formed myself.
That's an incredible way to say it, because I'm looking at the professional chefs here shaking their heads, and I can't tell you on television how many chefs say that. But it must be, and feel free, you know, to jump in anybody, but, you know, that's a very mature, I think, attitude to have, and it sounds like you're going to continue. Are you a senior this year?
I am a senior.
So you're going to continue next year. Do you want to go to college, or do you want to go right into a restaurant? What's your plan?
So the goal right now is what I'm thinking is I want to get my 5 years in the trade. I want to get 5 years in a restaurant, probably in a big city somewhere, so I can, like, find a prestigious cook or chef to learn under. And then from there, I want to bring my money together that I rope in and then go to a college and get a few degrees, and I want to teach to children someday.
Oh, be a culinary instructor yourself. Oh,
yeah.
That's terrific. How about you, Tori? Have you thought about, like, before the show, we were talking about Johnson & Wales, which is relatively close and very well known for their culinary. Is that something you're looking at?
I've definitely been looking at Johnson & Wales because of the vocational part of my school. It also allows us to have a big reduction in money when we go to the school. We use Johnson & Mills textbooks. We do serve safe and all of that. And in the end, it kind of helps us out when we do go into Johnson & Mills or any other school that allows that.
As a parent, let me tell you, that's terrific. You get credit for that, right?
Yes.
So if you want to go to Johnson & Mills, you've already got some credit. And serve safe, so people know what that is. It's a certification for?
Culinary, basically.
Safety?
Safety,
cleanliness.
Yeah. We learn all of this stuff for culinary, basically from packaging, delivering to cooking and like all of the cleanliness and stuff like that. And we take this really big test and it's hard.
Well, and it's also a big responsibility because as Maya was saying, it's one thing to have this wonderful feeling about somebody having a memory and how fulfilling that is. But on the other hand, God forbid somebody gets sick because the temp in the oven was off or, I mean, I can't imagine. There's so many, many safety issues on that. I want to ask Al and Bill real quickly, and then we're going to finish up with Dom. But hearing these students talk, where were you at when you were in high school? Were you thinking about this? I mean, you were working in a restaurant.
Yeah, I just wanted beer money when I was a kid.
be honest, will you?
I am trying to be. these girls definitely have a clearer vision and especially an understanding of why great chefs do what we do. I couldn't have said it better to give that experience to know that you created something that's going to last with somebody forever. It's why I get up every morning and do it. It's at the end of the day, whether there be compliments or complaints or whatnot, when you look out into the dining room and you see that expression, whether they're blown away by the presentation or the flavors and they just close their eyes and they're just so happy, it's why I do what I do. And you put it in perfect words of why it is.
Didn't she, huh?
Yeah.
Bill, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I started out in high school in a pizza shop as well. So there's a lot to learn. People like you just slinging pies. But, you know, like you talk about also in the serve safe, like you learn how to open a kitchen, close a kitchen, clean a kitchen, put good product on a plate. And I mean, it's pizza. So if someone's not finishing a pizza, then you're doing something wrong. So you see empty pizza plates everywhere, you know you're making great pie. And that's awesome, you know. When I went to college, I didn't actually go culinary arts right away. I went for theater. And
that's what my daughter does.
And I actually ended up seeing, I didn't act as much as I did direct. And it really ended up, years later, now I look at it and go, this is like
directing, you have
your cast, which is your kitchen crew or your front of the house. You have your script, which is your menu. And you have every night you have a new audience.
Good way to look at it.
So you're creating an experience every single night for a whole new crowd every single night of the week. And it is. It's that clean plate coming back to the kitchen is truly rewarding. It's almost like that standing ovation at the end of the night.
And I think you have to have that. It's interesting you say that. My daughter's in for stage management, and she has to put the pieces together. But I never thought of that analogy. That is terrific. And I think that really is a team. Now, I wanted to recap, but I wanted to ask you guys, we were talking a little bit before the show, breweries have become, I mean, Worcester has become really, I'd like to say, a mecca, even over some other cities. And Central Mass and Metro West, I know they've just formed a Brewers Guild in Marlboro, they have four breweries, and now we've got tons coming out of Worcester. One of them came out of Worcester and they're moving east. They're moving their breweries east. Should we have a cocktail category, maybe?
Absolutely. I mean, not to stereotype the industry, but I don't know a lot of chefs that don't enjoy a good cocktail after a night of hard work.
Yeah, students will get there, right? Yeah.
Earmuff, you guys.
So, Dom, let's finish up with you. So I always wish the best of luck from everybody. So to recap, this is the 13th annual Worcester's Best Chef event taking place January 26th at Mechanics Hall. And explain to me, there's different level tickets and what that gets somebody.
Absolutely. We have our VIP tickets, which I think they're great. They sell out fast. And you wouldn't think so because they're quite a bit more expensive. But VIP sells out immediately.
Could you come early? Right away.
You can come early between 3 and 5 p.m. We extended the hours from 4 to 5 to now 3 to 5. We're giving our VIP guests an extra hour. And with that, they get four cooking demos, live cooking demos that they can kind of take part in and be right up against. And they can get some really nice FaceTime with guys like Bill and Al. and other chefs. We've got a terrific lady, Robin Clark, from Niche Hospitality Group, that's going to be joining us again this year, too. She's great. Can't wait to see what she comes up with.
And they own a few restaurants, we should say.
A couple, yeah.
And they're owning Bacato, Mezcal, yeah. Right? The Still and Stir that's going in, and sure. The Fix, because I talked to the head of Niche recently, because they're opening in Marlboro, actually. Yeah. They're opening another Fix Burger Bar, and they have Bacato in Wellesley. And here. So they're a big group.
Sure, sure. And she does a great job. She likes pastry. But when you're at VIP, you get massage therapy, your own private bar. Massage therapy in your own suite. We've got a VIP suite. And alongside of that, a nice cocktail, some passed champagne.
Wait, do the chefs get massages while they...
Yeah, if they need it, they can pop in.
I think they all need it. Long hours.
Smith's Country Cheeses from Winchington is coming. And they're going to pass some really nice stuff around as well. And, it's just so much for VIP. VIP is all valet parking, and it's really white glove service. Then you've got our 5 o'clock hour, which is general admission. Also terrific, you know. You walk in, and you've got a big, big venue like Mechanics Hall, all full of people, but it's not shoulder to shoulder, Vicki. What I like about it is we limit the amount of guests we have at the event. That's why we don't sell tickets at the door. That's why it's only available online. And once it sells out, it sells out. So we need to keep the experience high and the interest factor and excitement factor high for our guests.
And when do the competitions start?
They actually start 3 p.m. is when they're cooking all day, you know. And throughout the whole day.
When do they get to the Iron Chef down to the top?
7 p.m. is where Iron Chef
starts. So people need to know. They need to be there well before 7 p.m., right? All right. Well, everybody, Bill, Al, Maya, Tori, Dom, best of luck to all of you and to everybody competing this year. Thanks for everyone for taking time out of your busy day today. School,
thank
you get
you,
out away from your restaurants to come in and talk to me. This is such a, I can't wait for this event.
Well, you know, I want to interrupt you for a second because it's no small secret to me now, and I just realized that Bill was a theater major, right? That explains a little bit about how he did so well up on stage, you know? Because part of the judges, what they tell us, the judges, part of their criteria is the coolness, the organization, and the fluidness with which these chefs put everything together on stage. You know, they don't panic. He doesn't panic, and neither did Al.
Yeah, and you know, I wonder when I see these chefs on TV, you know, some of them are celebrity, and they admit they still panic sometimes, or they get nervous, or they miss time, or something doesn't go as planned, and you kind of have to wing it. And that happens in theater all the time. All right? So that's going to be it today. Thanks again for everybody. A big thank you for everybody for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Vicki.
All right. That's Community Conversations. I'm Vicki Green. Have a wonderful day.